إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, before we continue, I would like to sum up the points that we have addressed last week. With your help, inshallah, we talked about how many ways by means of which we can be protected and fortified from the evil of the Shaytan al-Rajim. We talked about three points. What are they? Number one, we said, and again it's very important to understand fully these points, because the purpose is not for us to have more information, rather to put this knowledge into practice, because the whole lecture is meaningless and fruitless if we don't have a practical plan. Shaytan is real, his evil is real, and you know that he is very unhappy about this series of lectures and exposure that he is getting. Because of his hidden nature, many times people are not aware of his far-reaching evil and how to combat him. So what are these points that we talked about? Number one, the most important point, and that is to really enter into the realm of the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the most powerful shield against the evil and the whisper of the shaitan, in accordance with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, indeed you have no authority, no power over my servants. So the secret lies in this relationship, my servants. How can we be of the servants of Allah, of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to learn about the obligations of ubudiyyah and fulfill the rights of ubudiyyah in order for us to set ourselves free from the influence and the authority of the shaytan. And then we talked about isti'adha min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Under what main title? This is the subtitle. The main title is seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have different forms. One of these forms is al-isti'adha. And we talked about the different situations where it is sunnah to seek the refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isti'adha is nothing but a humble supplication. Humble supplication before Allah, in which we acknowledge our weakness and our need for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created shaitan, is the one who is able to protect us from the evil of the shaytan. So isti'ana billah, seeking the help of Allah, can take different forms. One form is by isti'ada. One form is tawakkul upon Allah. This is related to the action of the heart. Tawakkul Allah, when you have a deep conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for you, that Allah can suffice you, protect you, and He is your best guardian. This tawakkul also is based in protecting the person from the evil of the shaitan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another ayah, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He has no authority, no power over those who believe and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third form of isti'ana billah, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what? It's just general dua. And there is specific dua. General dua, you say it whenever you feel a problem, a fear from the harm of the shaitan. And the specific dua is when you learn about the du'as that are in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, like the dua that he used to say, for example, when he entered a village or a town, he used to say, Allahumma rabba as-samawati as-sab'i wa ma adhan wa rabba al-ardini wa as-sab'i wa ma aqlan wa rabba ash-shayatini wa ma adhan wa rabba ar-riyahi wa ma dharain فإنا نسألك من خير هذه القرية وخير أهلها ونعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما فيها. نعم. And the third point that we mention is the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said there are two things: the influence of the shaitan and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are two opposites. Okay, they are like day and night. If somebody is conscious of Allah in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is protected from the shaytan. And we talked about the different forms of dhikr. Okay, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take different forms. The first form that we talk about is what? Salah. Salah is from dhikrullah. It's the best form of dhikrullah, azza wa jalla. Salah. You stand. It includes Quran. It includes dhikr. Okay, it includes the dhikr of the heart, remembrance of the heart, remembrance of the body, because by those positions that you display before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are hoping them for the mercy of Allah and feeling the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the three different forms of dhikr are included: the dhikr of the heart, the dhikr of the tongue, and the dhikr of the whole of the body. The second form of dhikr is Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is like Quran in protecting you from the evil of the shaytan. We say there are specific portions of the Quran, and the Quran in general, specific portion of the Quran, such as Ayatul Kursi, Suratul Baqarah, Al-Mu'awwidhat, and Qul Huwallahu Ahad, last two verses from Suratul Baqarah. These are most effective in protecting against the shaytan. And then comes, now we talked, and we are talking about the different forms of dhikr. We said Salah, Quran, and then dhikr, the usual dhikr, and the best of the dhikr is what? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? This is a rule that we all should know by heart, that Sayyidul Dhakirin is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The chief of those who remember Allah is Muhammad. The chief of the awliya is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, the wording of his dhikr is the best wording of dhikr. We are not trying to impeach any righteous person, but we say any righteous person after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fall short from reaching, you see, the position of prophethood and the position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, adhering to the adhkar is of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a shortcut to attain the benefits and the fruits of dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His adhkar are most comprehensive, are rich in meaning, and correct, because sometimes you make a dhikr that is not correct. So they are correct, they are sound, and they are rich in meaning and comprehensive. And also the focus on in the right meanings, because sometimes a person may say it's a wrong type of dhikr. Now, we talked about under this subtitle, we talked about the basmala and about la ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And the different type of dhikr. Inshallah, we'll continue talking about this about the different means and ways by which we can fortify ourselves against the shaitan. Number 4 point is luzumul jama'a, to adhere to the jama'a, to be close from the community, to be close to the masjid. When the person is alone, he is an easy target for the shaitan. He is an easy prey for the shaitan. It is important that one be close to the community of the believers, and select his good friends who remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about traveling. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that was recorded by Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, that al-raqibu shaytan wal-raqibani shaytanan wal-thalathat wal-raqib, that the one who travels by himself is a shaytan, is a devil. The two who travel by themselves, they are two devils. And the three travelers are a group. They are rakab. They are a group. Okay? So it means that this is what the shaitan wants you to do, to travel by yourself, to live by yourself. There are some people who leave their parents, who leave their homes, and prefer to live alone by themselves. And by doing so, they are becoming very, very easy target for the shaitan. And this is a discouragement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to people to travel alone. If somebody travel alone and then he dies, for example, okay, there is no one to notify his people, to take care of him, to take him to a hospital, to if face any trouble, you see, if he is to pray, he pray by himself, and this is in itself, you see, something that is not recommended. But when you have three people, they can make jama'ah, they can help each other. If they are traveling in a dangerous place, they can guard each other, and so on and so forth. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged us in this hadith from traveling by ourselves, and he said that ar-raqibu shaytan. Now, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling with his companions. Okay, and in the rest area they scattered, and this is a hadith that was recorded by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and they scattered. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped, and they scattered in the different pathways and valleys to meet their human needs and to just relax. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that إن تفرقكم في هذه الشعاب والأودية إنما ذلك من الشيطان. Now I want you to imagine the picture. We are not talking about a religious activity in the masjid. We are not talking about some educational program in the masjid. We are not talking about anything that has any religious component. We are talking about a normal activity, a routine activity. The Sahaba were tired, and they rested. In the place of their resting, they scattered, and just they saw different places to lay down and relax. And in spite of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This scatter of yours is from Shaytan. Shaytan doesn't like us to be together. And if scattering upon a worldly affair is from Shaytan, what about when we divide and disunite about concerning a religious obligation, or concerning a Islamic a program? This is obviously a lot more worse. But see the difference between us and the companions. the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever they used to hear a command or an instruction from him, they used to put it into practice. And therefore the narrator of this hadith says, فَلَمْ يَنْزِلُوا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا ضَمَّ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ حَتَّى يُقَالُ لَوْ بُسِطَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثَوْبٌ لَعَمَّهُمْ. After that, afterward, whenever the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and used to rest, they used to come so close to each other, if you are to throw a garment, okay, or a fabric over them, it will encompass them. See how much closer they used to get to each other after this instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here also, when we are attending a halqa or attending an Islamic activity, it's good, it's recommended that people come close to each other and adhere to this instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama thalika min ash-shaytan." Indeed, this is from shaytan. And a third hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that was recorded by An-Nasa'i in Al-Kubra and At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, that عليكم بالجماعة وإياكم والفرقة فإن الشيطان مع الواحد وهو من الاثنين من الاثنين أبعد. He said, adhere to the jama'ah, adhere to the main body of Muslims, adhere to the community, and beware of division, beware of disputations, beware of disuniting, because shaitan is with the person who is alone, and he is further away from the two people together when they are together. So the more people we have, the more greater the number of the people who are gathered upon an obedience, upon a ta'ah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the further away they are from the shaitan and from the evil of the shaitan. Yet there is another hadith for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he says, "Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah." The hand of Allah is upon al-jama'ah. The hand of Allah, we understand it as it is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand that befits His greatness, His grandeur, and it is unlike anything that we know. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here it means the preservance and the protection and the caring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon the jama'ah, the people who are together, the people who are together. Now, وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ مَنْ فَارَقَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. And shaitan is the one who separates himself from the main jama'ah, from the main body of Muslims. So from this we understand that the closer we are to the jama'ah, the further away from shaitan. How can we apply this to our condition here in this community? That is by reacting to the invitations of the masjid. When in the masjid in front of us there is a speaker, please come attend. You rush, hurry, bring yourself, bring your wife, bring your children, and attend to the activity. Especially in this country, because we are a Muslim minority who is living amongst a non-Muslim majority, which means we need each other. We need to protect our identity. We need to preserve our creed. We need to provide for our children the healthy, good atmosphere in which they can be brought up as good Muslims, as good believers. So there are so many benefits in coming together and in responding to the call of the masjid actively participate in their in its activities. So this is number 4, لزوم الجماعة, to adhere to the جماعة, to the community, to the main body of the Muslims. Number 5, that is to avoid excessiveness, to avoid excessiveness in looking, eating, talking, socializing. Not to overeat, overtalk, over-socialize and overlook. Overlook, I don't know whether it works in English or not. But it is an invitation to moderation in all these 4 matters, because extremism and excessiveness in these 4 matters is one of the main entry points for the shaitan into our hearts. We start with the first one, looking. What's wrong with looking? Looking is the channel. When we look at something, it is a channel. When you close your eyes, your heart does not see anything. When you open your eyes, you see something. And this looking is a channel to your heart. So if you look at something, you may like it and it may be attractive to you, and you may start thinking about it, and your heart may be attached later on with it, and this attachment grow to be a stronger one, and so on and so forth, until this whatever you are looking at, you see, captivate your heart. Whether it is brand new Lexus, okay, 2008, or whether it is someone from the other sex, okay, everything starts from looking, okay. Fornication starts from looking, and our yani. Poets, they said a beautiful shi'r about that poetry. They said, كل الحوادث مبدأها من النظر ومعظم النار من مستصغر الشرر. The huge incidents start from just looking, as the huge fire starts from a spark. A spark sometimes can trigger a huge fire. What started all those horrendous fires in California? Okay, little child, small child, was playing with a match. It drove 1 billion people away from their home. 1 million people. 1 million people. Yes. And same thing, you may belittle this looking, but of course, looking, we are not talking about normal things. We are talking about excessiveness. Somebody, you see, like surfing the internet, looking, okay, staring. And, you know, there is a child that I read about, okay, in China, who kept surfing for 7 consecutive days until he died. This is called surfing until death. See? So again, so you are looking, and there is a world, a world of things. Anything you want, anything. You can spend your life in the internet without feeling that the time is passing, depending on your interest. So we are talking about excessiveness in this. وَكُنْتَ مَتَى أَرْسَلْتَ طَرْفَكَ رَائِدًا لِقَلْبِكَ يَوْمًا أَتْعَبَتْكَ الْمَنَاظِرُ رأيت الذي لا كله أنت قادر عليه ولا عن بعضه أنت صابر. Okay, because when you see a lot of things, and these too many things, they really cause hardship for your heart, because you cannot really get all that you see. So but you are so attached that you cannot also let go. So you cannot let go, you cannot get it all. This is a cause for agony for the person. So excessive looking. Okay. You eat in moderation, look in moderation, and talk in moderation. And this is the second point that we are going to talk about. Talking. Excessive talking. Excessive talking opens a wide door for evil. And it is one of the main entry points for the shaitan into our heart. A war can be started by a word. A war. And we know currently a very bad relationship between two countries that started by just words from one president to another. And the other one of presidents sent for the other president or king someone to assassinate him. You see? So just words start wars between people. And therefore, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after saying, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and tell my servant to say that which is better, not that which is good. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي, tell my servant to say that which is better. If you have several words, you choose the best and say it. What did Allah say after that? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Indeed, shaytan instigate. And shaytan tries to instill animosity and hatred between people. And therefore, you choose the word that can bear no other meaning other than what you are saying. The one that represents what you are going to say. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسُ فِي النَّارِ فِي عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَهَلْ يُكِبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is there anything that topples people on their noses into the hellfire other than the harvest of their tongues? This is the leading cause in entering the hell fire. So therefore, one should really think and then talk. And talk when he knows that there is a benefit that can be attained by talking. يعني الأصل أن لا يتكلم الإنسان إلا إذا إلا علم أن هناك مصلحة أن يتكلم. There is a benefit. He serves a benefit by talking. Okay. The third point, and under abstinence from excessiveness or extremism, okay, is eating, overeating, excessive eating, because once the person is full, then the person starts thinking, you see, his thoughts start wandering, you see, and try to see what kind of lusts that it can fulfill. This is what happened. When the person is hungry, he calms down, his soul is humbled. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed fasting for the young men and women who desire to marry but they cannot afford marriage. The solution is fasting, because fasting really calms the person and helps the person curb his own desires and lust. When the person is full, he will feel very heavy. This will stop him from doing performing more righteous deeds, more righteous acts. And also it leads him to be heedless from al-ghafra an dhikrillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heedless concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan is in his fullest control of the servant when the person's stomach is full. He just open up the channel of whispering to the maximum and start promising him and make him and fill his heart with desires, with wishes, with a lot of prohibited things. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما ملأ آدمي وعاء شرا من بطن, that there is no container no human can fill a container worse than his own stomach. Okay, and therefore eating in moderation. One should leave one third for his breathing, one third for his drinking, and he can eat one third of his stomach. One third. Now, comparison between we talked about 3 points, right? Excessive looking, excessive eating, and excessive talking. Now, comparison between excessive looking and excessive talking and excessive eating. Which is worst? Looking and talking. Why? Why is worse? Because your stomach, no matter how big it is, it is a container that at one point it will be filled. And if you have a full stomach and you have the most delicious food offered to you, say, I cannot eat, that's it. There is a limit by which you stop eating. You cannot eat no more. Okay. Now, when it comes to talking and looking, there's no limit. There's no limit. You can say, because you can keep branching out, and there is no limit for this. And therefore, most the haram that people commit are caused by this and this, their eyes and their tongue. We come now to over socialization. Okay, socialization is very important, and our deen is a communal deen. I mean, you have to have a community to practice our deen. You cannot practice our deen in its fullest sense if you seclude yourself on the top of a mountain and dedicate yourself for worship. You have to have the community in order to be the best believer. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhalitu an-nasa wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min alladhi la yukhalitu an-nasa wa la yasbiru ala adhahum." However, this need to be done in moderation, because over socialization may take away from you many of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may implant the seed of enmity and hatred between you and those with whom you over socialize, may cause irritations, okay, in the relationship. How often you have seen people who are, they are very, very close friends, they eat together, they go together, they spend time with each other more than they spend with their wives and children, and all of a sudden they turn into enemies against each other. And when your friend, close friend, becomes an enemy, this hurts the most, because he knows the most about you, and he claimed that this, but I know he told me that. Okay, so he knows all your secrets, all your the things that you keep for private, and he start publicizing these. So one should avoid over socialization, and know that this is over socialization is a one main entry for the shaitan into our hearts. Remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any people who gather together in a place where they don't mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they depart from it ala antani min jifati himar, on a condition that is worse, more stinky than the odor of a donkey carcass. You see how stinky is that? So people who gather together, But there is no real substance in their gathering. Their gathering is not based on al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar, not based on the ta'atullah azza wa jal. Then they depart with something that is very awful. You have to know the different kinds of people with whom you deal. There are people who are like nutrition to your body. You cannot live without them. And therefore, you have to have this kind of people as your friends, or as people with whom you socialize. And these are the people of knowledge and the people of righteousness. There are, on the other hand, people who are like the medicine. You don't need them all the time. You don't see a person who is taking a bottle of tablets and saying, I want to be healthy and just eat all the pills together. You don't see somebody. There are people who are like medicine. You need them and you need to socialize with them during certain times. Like people with whom you do business, for example. You cannot live without them because they are the source of your interaction with them, constitute the source of your sustenance. And therefore you have to deal with them. Okay, you are a distributor of certain merchandise. You meet some people to take merchandise for them, and you give them you know other people to whom you distribute this merchandise. This is your business. You work in a place. You deal with your employers, with your co-workers. So you have no choice but to deal with these people. So they are like medicine. There are others, however, a third kind of people who are like the disease itself. Okay? And these are also different kinds. There are some of them that they are like chronic disease. Okay? And some of them are, they are like, you see, the toothache. Okay? Whenever you with him, you feel, when you leave him, okay, you get some relief. Okay? So there are these type of, there are some people who are like fever, for example. So you feel, and there are people who are just very intolerable. You cannot tolerate them. If you sit with them, they are always talking. Okay, they don't benefit you, and they don't keep quiet, so you can really advise them or benefit them. They feel that they are most eloquent and most knowledgeable, and they keep talking. So these are the different types of people who are like disease, and therefore you try to avoid or minimize your interaction with them. And there is the fourth type of people who are the death, who are like a poison, and these people should stay away from. And these are people of sin, people of innovation, people who الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. These are the different type of people. Again, we are talking about over-socializing as part of talking about excessive looking, excessive talking, excessive eating, and excessive socialization. All these three points are main entry points for the shaitan into our heart. The best thing we do is to be moderate. Moderate in it. Moderation is everything in Islam. Everything, even in our relationship, you see, Rasulullah advised us to be moderate. Like the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see how beautiful this hadith is. أحبب حبيبك هونا ما عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوما ما وابغض بغيضك هونا ما عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوما ما. So love the one whom you love in moderation, because he may be your opponent at one point. And hate your opponent in moderation, because he may become loved or be your beloved at one point. So this is moderation. Hadith sahih an Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wala wa abasa al-abisun. It is hadith. It was attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib, but it is a hadith, authentic hadith. If you note the isnad, inshallah, I'll give it to you, inshallah. So these are, now we talked about two more things: luzum al-jama'ah, to adhere to the main body of the Muslim, to the jama'ah of Muslims, to the community of believers. And the second point is to avoid excessiveness. And the third point that we are going to talk about today is feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the trial of the other sex. The trial of the other sex. I'm not saying the trial of women. I'm saying the trial of the other sex. Because men are a trial for women, and women are a trial for men. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which was recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I did not leave behind me a trial that is more harmful than women upon men. So it is a major trial. It is a major trial. Are we failing this trial? It's very important for us to think about it. Especially nowadays, especially in this country, especially in this town. Unfortunately, we find that many of the etiquettes that must exist and must govern the relationship between brothers and sisters are not there. There are some sisters now whom, if you don't look at their face, they get angry. Why you are not looking at me? Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ غُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Okay? So it is out of respect and honor for you. If a non-Muslim gets angry, she has the right. I mean, you have to understand the background of the people with whom we address, but it is not for a Muslim sister to be angry when somebody is denying his gift. Now, there are some sisters who are daring to know we have to deal with this. There are some in some masajid lift on all the restriction between dealing between men and women. And wallahi, if you know what I know, you'll know that this is something wrong. I'm not talking only about the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the guidance of Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I am talking about real life stories of the damage that this openness causes on sometimes national organizations, sometimes Islamic centers, sometimes there is a complete destruction for a whole organization because of this openness. Because Allah is the one who has created us, and Allah knows best what can the best for us, what serves our best interest. And He knows that He created an attraction between men and women, and He is the one who has legislated all these etiquettes and all these restrictions. And therefore, living in this country and living up among people who are very, very liberal should not make us change our ID or change our restriction of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which was recorded by Imam Tirmidhi, المرأة عورة فإذا خرجت استشرفها الشيطان. The woman is a awra. Awra is anything that you'd like to hide. And which means that awra must be protected, must be shielded, must be covered. فإذا خرجت, and when she comes out, استشرفها الشيطان. What's the meaning of استشرفها الشيطان? When she comes out of her home, Shaytan beautify her in the eyes of men. And Shaytan looks forward to cause deviation for her and by her. See what I'm saying? This is the meaning of Sashafa. Cause deviation for her and by her to others. So and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in the hadith which was recorded by Muslim and Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud that إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ تُقْبِلُ فِي سُورَةِ شَيْطَانِ وَتُدْبِرُ فِي سُورَةِ شَيْطَانِ. Sisters, please don't mind this. This is someone who loves you. Someone who cares most about you. These are the words of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he said something, he does not mean that you are a shaitan. He does not mean that in any way, shape or form that women are devils and men are angels. Okay? Men can be shaitan too. Okay? But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drawing our attention to the lust, to the whim, to the desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the hearts of, you see, men. And the drawing our attention to the attraction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the heart of men towards women, and vice versa. And the fact that men like to look at women, right or not? They like. They don't like. They like. Okay? Anybody who say no, he can go check his doctor, see what's going on. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in us. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing us attention to this matter. Many times shaitan comes. I say the story in the khutbah, okay, that is shaking a community. It is destroying a community, and started by honest, noble intention that some sister saw a neglected man having a surgery, and she wanted to take care of him, okay, for the sake of Allah. It ended by committing the major haram. Okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time during the time of Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one young lady came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a fatwa question, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered her, قال وقد لوى عنق الفضل. Behind him was al-fadl, okay, and he turned his face away from that woman. Physically, he turned his face away from that woman. And when Al-Abbas asked him, Ya Rasulullah, لِمَ لَوَيْتَ عُنُقَ ابْنِ عَمِّكَ, why did you turn away the face of your cousin? He said, رَأَيْتُ شَابًا وَشَابَّةً فَلَنْ آمَنَ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا. I realized that there is a young man and there is a young woman, so I did not feel safe from the evil and the whisper of the shaitan to start something between them. See, this is the condition that is conducive for the work of the shaitan, when there is a young man and young woman. And therefore, and this is advice for all young men and women, to just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to observe these etiquettes. And again, we need to follow whatever etiquettes that are in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing that we sometimes neglect concerning, you see, al-mar'a al-ajnabiyya, which is the stranger woman. Okay, Al-Ajnabi here means a stranger woman, not alien, Mexican or Canadian. Okay, it means the stranger woman. Okay, with whom one can get married. He is not prohibited upon him like his mother or sister or his aunt. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يخلون رجل بامرأة فإن ثالثهما الشيطان. Let not a man and a woman stay alone in one place because they are third is the shaitan. And this shows that it is haram for a man to be alone with a woman in a one room, in one room. And we start to need to avoid this. And again, why? Because Allah created us. Allah knows how we think. We can show that, oh, we are cool. These things does not affect us. Like some people do, and you discover, like some non-Muslims do. And you discover that they have cheated many times on their wives and cheated many times on this and had a relationship with this, with that. And Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So let's stop at this point, inshaAllah. And again, thus far we have mentioned 6 points. Okay? 6 points. What are these 6 points? Number one. العبودية, okay, which is Tawheed is part of it. العبودية لله, servitude to entering into the realm of servitude is the best protection against the shaitan. Number two, استعانة بالله عز وجل, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, with all the its different forms. Number three, adhering to the jama'ah, to the main body of Muslim, to the community of believing. Number four, part of dhikr. Okay. What? Okay. Avoid excessiveness. Okay. In eating, talking, socializing, and looking. Okay. Number five, dawamu dhikrillah, constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, fearing Allah. Okay. Concerning the trial of the other sex, okay, people who are from different planets, okay. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If you have question, please go ahead. Otherwise, sallallahu
could it mean that also the shaitan unifies the woman in the eyes of the other sex, and the shaitan works on that? Could it be that what that meaning means?
Yeah.
Because you explained it in the first one about
absolutely. There's no contradiction, inshallah. Okay. Any question? No question. Jazakumullah. May Allah reward you, inshaAllah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.